Falcons have to get that roster down like everybody else in the NFL by Tuesday. 53-man roster, 17 practice players. And Falcons lose 13-12 to Baltimore on Saturday. But who really cares about that, gentlemen, right?
Yeah, and you kind of went, to me, with the moves that Terry made last week. I know we're going to hear from him in a second. But the moves you made from last week, you went from looking at other people's rosters, like who and who they cut, and guys you could add to bring in to be an effective, to saying, is there any way I can cut this guy and get him on the practice squad?
Right.
Because there are so many people we're going to get to in a second. There's, to me, I don't recall seeing a defense where I felt as good about the depth as this one right now. It's been a long time.
Been a long time.
No, and I'll be honest with you, the more we move throughout this roster, and there's, I think at every single level of the defense, I think the D-line, the linebackers, and the secondary, there's going to be somebody that that's going to be like, what? You're going to cut somebody, you're going to be like, I did not in a million years see that. Imagine that being a thing after this game this past weekend.
But you never know. We don't see what necessarily goes on at practice every single day. We don't know the inside, what guys are actually engaged and doing everything they're supposed to do. But let's hear from Terry Fontenot. He was on with Arch and Wes Durham, basking in the glory of the week he had last week.
It was a good week, man. It was a good week. It was really fun. We made our team better, I would say, on the field and off the field, man. Like in what they're going to bring to the locker room, both Matt Judon and obviously Justin Simmons, not just what they're going to bring on the field as players, impact. They'll make an impact on our defense, on our team, but they're also multipliers and they fit our culture.
Well, that's all you want. Multipliers that fit your culture.
Well, I hope he means like multiple sacks, multiple interceptions.
Yes.
As in multipliers. I hope that's what he's talking about.
If you look at their track record, that's what they bring. I mean, you know, Justin Simmons, 30 interceptions career, most since 2016. Matthew Judon had like 32 sacks in his last like 32 or three games. That's what they bring. Judon, he got hurt in week four. He started four games last year. He already had four sacks. So that's the thing for me is you bring that. I think our defensive line, I'm sitting there watching and I see Rook flash. Early in, I think it was maybe their first or second drive, Mike. Maybe it was the first drive Baltimore had.
Yeah.
And he gets that sack. And, you know, I've heard some people talking. They're like, yeah, but those guys that he did that against, they won't even be on a roster. It's absolutely false. If you go back, who their projected starters are on offensive line, they played three of them, Rob, Saturday, the entire first half Baltimore did. And Voorhees is the guy who's projected at left guard from what we heard from them up there, and that's who Rook beat.
Have you guys ever been out to practice and seen the heavy bag that has two arms coming out of it, two kind of poles coming out, and you see the guys work their pass rush?
Right.
That's exactly what Rook did in that first quarter of this game to get that sack. He did exactly what you do. You stand up, give a little head fake, you put the little rip move on, and you go straight to the edge of that left guard, and that's a scary thing for a left guard. When you threaten the inside, you always take away the inside first, and then you try to react. And Rook was powerful enough to not let that left guard react back to the outside. Bo, to kind of stick with that sentiment, Natron Brooks had about as good of a game as I can remember anybody in the last two preseasons having. And it's not just the coverage was great. His ability to read exactly what the offense was trying to do, he blows up a screen pass early in the game. If you watch what they do on the, I think it was either a two-point conversion or a goal line play where he steps up and makes a tackle on the one-yard line. Incredible eyes.
He actually knocked that ball loose, by the way. Yeah, that was right in front of us. Both those plays were. That's why he was a Solomon Brothers player of the game. Dude, he was phenomenal.
He was unbelievable. He looked like a guy that could step right in and play when needed, and because he was a sure tackler. Look, coverage is great, man, you talk about coverage and obviously special teams. As a corner that can step up and make a tackle on a running back heading into the flat, he was ready. I loved watching Natron Brooks this past weekend.
Well, so did Raheem Morris. Let's hear from the Falcons coach.
Chris Blair certainly having a bounce back game from the fumble. You know, I know he came back last week and got the big play, but to come back and really put up 91 yards, I think, receiving or something like that, and catch some of the big plays over the middle of the field, that's all exciting for him. And Brooks, I mean, he played about as fit as you can play. He talked to me about playing middle linebacker in high school or something like that, but he was outstanding.
Well, there you go.
I love his interview. I know you were probably standing there, but I love his interview with you and Arch after the game. And he's like, man, that's that Mississippi in me. Got a little dog in me from Mississippi.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No big deal. I just always have my back against the wall.
Are you down there with Arch when he does those?
Yeah. I actually, because I've been doing that for, I think, I only didn't go down there 1 year, but I'm always down there with Arch for those interviews. I get to send them back to Dylon and let Dylon edit them and get them ready for play. But it is cool. It's cool in the preseason because we got the Solomon Brothers Player of the Game this year, and they get a $1,000 gift certificate. Well, I have it. I'm the deliverer. I probably shouldn't tell that because I might get robbed outside the stadium now. But but I have it, and so I give it to him. And just the dude, he's like, "What?" I go, "Yeah, man." I was like, "Here you go. This is how it goes."
Bo's gonna walk in here with a bunch of.
Oh, you gave it Natron or a Chris Blair?
No, we gave it Natron Brooks. Yeah, I thought he deserved it.
I agree.
He played his butt off, and he's not, dude. He was hitting some folks hard out there, and he's not an overly large guy. I mean, he's 5'11". I think he's probably closer to 5'10". But he even said, he goes, "Yeah, I'm 5'11", 165 pounds, and he packs a punch."
Yeah, what is it about those guys, Mike, having played the game? What is it about those smaller guys that can't lay the wood like that? What is it about? What is the essence of that?
Well, there's a toughness that comes along with, I think, some of just the spirit of playing corner. There's just some guys that take pride in it, right? I mean, I think trash talk goes a long way in coverage. Like, you always hear the guys doing one-on-one coverage, and they're talking trash, and they're going into press. But you really want to be a trash talker playing corner, you step up and hit somebody. And hit somebody square in the hip and send their feet over the top of their head in the running game. That's when you make teams. Like, that's the ultimate difference between a starting caliber corner and a guy that's just on the depth chart, is a guy that can step up and make a tackle on a running back. That's what you have to have.
Who was that Giants lineman that ran down that running back? Did you see that play this weekend?
No, but I can only imagine who it was, and if I thought long enough, I'd probably get it.
It was somebody that probably made the team based on something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Ran a 4.8 at the combine.
Yeah. Just random, like in-game speed, man. So that's
Elijah Chapman. Wow, that's great. It was Elijah Chapman who ran a 4.8 5.40 at the combine, and he ran down J.J. Taylor, who ran a 4.6.
Well, that reminds me. God, I did not know that he was a 4.8 guy. I had no idea. I guessed that. I was like, he's got to be one of those 4.8 combine guys.
I think that I'm not going to speak for J.J. Taylor, but the part of me thinks that he kind of he either got tired or he started to coast, because I don't think he was tired. I think he started to coast a little bit, because once he got by the DB, I think he thought he had it, and he didn't. That's just a hell of a play. I'm going to tell you something.
Who was that old Cowboys lineman that landed down? I think it was Darian Connor, linebacker for the Saints. Was it Larry Adams? That's like one of the most epic plays you've ever seen.
Larry Allen?
Larry Allen, thank you very much. Yeah. A guy that big, running that fast, running down a linebacker.
Well, it goes back to, we were talking, the funny thing was, is we were having this conversation, and I can't remember where, but it was Arch and I and oh, it was before the game. Arch and I and Greg Beatles were talking about plays like that, and we talked about the Julio play against the Bucks when he ran down Quan Alexander.
Right.
But there was one with Roddy where it was, I think it was Mike. It might have been 12. It might have been 2012, where Ryan had thrown like three or four interceptions. But there was one against, I think, San Francisco.
Yeah, I think it was 11.
Where he throws the pick. And it's at the end of the game.
Yeah, it's inside of a minute.
And it's going to seal the game. And Roddy chased the play, strips it. Ball comes out. They recover.
Who recovered it?
Yep.
Do you know who recovered it?
Let's see. Hold on. It was probably Todd McClure.
Harvey Dahl.
So it had to have been 11 then. And then what turns around and happens is they go down the field, kick the field goal, win the game.
Well, I mean, I think we had three completions with like 20 seconds left on the clock.
Yeah.
That was one of the more astounding comebacks in the history of football. That was unbelievable.
That was wild. I remember that. We talked about that one. We were talking about, you know, big interception games. I remember when Matt had like 4 or 5 1 year against Arizona, and you still won the game.
Well, speaking of wide receivers, I want to get your thoughts on this too, as we kind of, you know, talk about some of these performances we saw on Saturday. And Chris Blair was a name that Raheem brought up, and we've kind of been talking about it. I think the roster math looks a little bit different offensively this year. You had a fullback on the roster last year. You were obviously very tight end heavy. I think he kept 4 tight ends at the cut down. So you had 3 running backs, a fullback, and 4 tight ends. I don't think that's the case this year. I think you keep the extra wide receiver, and I think that Chris Blair right now is squarely in the conversation of wide receiver 6, because I think you go Drake, Darnell, Ray, Kadarius Hodge is probably in there. I have to think that Chris Blair is number five or six in that conversation, and then you move Jesse Matthews, Casey Washington, some of these other guys kind of into that role as you move throughout the second half of that. But
did you see all the pearl clutching about Penix not playing this weekend?
What did you think about that?
I would like to see him get the reps, but I'm okay with it because he's not expected to start this year. But look at that. Brock Purdy played yet the other day. Struggled, granted, but he played. Patrick Mahomes played.
A lot.
Yeah, I just it's so funny how people are like, yeah, it's one of the best coaches in the NFL. He plays his players. I go, yeah, how did it work out for Mike Tomlin? He lost his start, and we'll get to it in the blitz. He lost two starters on Saturday. And that's
– Oh, and Arthur Smith getting roasted on, like, what?
Well, I can't imagine that. Sean McVay hasn't – he's been keeping guys out.
But he's historically just had an aversion towards preseason.
Well, and I think that's partly where Raheem
– Yeah, I was going to say that's a lot of where Raheem gets it.
They all have their own ways. I think too much is made about how much guys do and don't play in a preseason. I understand it with Penix. I understand completely with Penix because he's a rookie, and you'd like to see him get reps because he doesn't have a lot. But then again, when I see when in the first half of a preseason game, the first one, a starter and a guy that was going to get probably – would you agree that Braylon Trice was going to get 30 to 50% of the snaps on defense this year? I would say that. I think he was.
I would err towards 30. Yeah,
but you are looking at that guy to contribute mightily, and I come back and they're gone for the one of them for the year, and the other at least half the season.
My standing has always been that rookies should play in the preseason, period, and because they need the reps. And you're hoping Penix doesn't play for the rest of the year, and all of a sudden he's going to be your incumbent in a couple years. I'd love to see the reps, but I get it, man. It is what it is. Heineke needs those reps too.
All right, come back. We are going to go in the huddle. We'll talk about the Steelers losing a couple of starters. And the most overblown – yes, he threw the pass behind his back. It's like – that is not like the most magnificent athletic achievement I've ever seen in my life. But we'll get into all that next in the huddle. Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 1990 Game.